Did you hear about the very rich lady who loved her cat dearly, and when it passed away, she went to the Presbyterian minister and asked him to conduct a funeral for her cat. He said he was not in the business. He said it indignantly. He was not in the business of conducting funerals for cats. And she said, well, that's too bad. She had meant to give a $20,000 contribution to the church after the funeral. And he said, well, why didn't you tell me it was a Presbyterian cat? You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. We're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 20. The book of Ephesians. My mother-in-law, Charlotte Dickin, gave me a good story. It seems this man and his wife were having a violent argument, which naturally he was losing. And finally, in outraged indignation, he said, I don't understand how God could make you so beautiful and so stupid at the same time. And she sweetly said, well, it's easy to understand. God made me beautiful so that you would want to marry me, and he made me stupid so I would say yes. That's smart, huh? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, now remember, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, and that refers to what's gone before, and he's been telling us how to live as Christians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's some bad things that Christians don't do. But fornication and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is fitting among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor silly talk, nor levity, which are not fitting, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure man or one who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And I would remind us that the darkness that's been cast out is because of the light of the world shining in us, Jesus Christ. You and I have no light on our own. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now our text for this morning. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time. If you have a King James Version, it has a little better translation right there. Because it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Our meditation this morning is entitled, Time Your Watch Doesn't Tell. Our text, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, through Your word, speak to us in a new way today. Give us fresh insights on how to be Your people. For we ask it in the Savior's name, Jesus. Amen. The ancient Greek language was very precise in many ways. For example, the Greeks had three distinctly different words to describe different kinds of love. There was one word for the kind of uncaused love that God has for us, the word agape. Another word was for the kind of love a man has for his wife, eros. And a third word for the kind of love a man has for a friend, phileo. The English language is far less precise. We say we love our mate, we love football, and we love the fall of the year. And while we use the same word, it means different things, but you can't tell it by looking. Now, the Greek language also had two different words that are translated time. And the two words mean something entirely different. For example, one Greek word that we translate by the English word time is the word chronos. It means time in the sense of duration of time or length of time. If the Greeks were writing the sentence, he lived a very long time, they would say he lived a very long chronos. They would use that word. Now, if you ask the same Greek the question, what time do you have? I suppose he would look at his wrist sundial and give you the time of day. And of course, our English word chronometer comes from the Greek word chronos and is an instrument which measures the duration of time. Now, the second Greek word that we translate time is the word kairos. Now, this means time in the sense of the right moment, or the opportune time, or the appropriate occasion. If our Greek friend were writing the sentence, he was in the right place at the right time, he would write, he was in the right place at the right kairos. So one Greek word translated by the English word time means length of time. But the other Greek word that we also translate with the English word time means the opportune moment. Now the reason I've given us this little lesson in Greek is because in our text for this morning, St. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the kairos," redeeming the time. And that means the opportune moment. Now the question is this. Since there come those right moments, those opportune times, what are we to do with them? Well, various translations tell us what to do with those opportune moments. For example, the Amplified Bible translates it this way, buying up each opportunity. The Living Bible translates it, making the most of every opportunity for doing good. The New English Bible translates it, use the present opportunity to the full. Now, interestingly enough, if you have a King James Version, you will discover that it translates it this way. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Actually, the King James Version has the best translation, for the Greek word there means to redeem in the sense that you would go to a pawn shop and with your pawn ticket, and you would buy back, you would redeem something that was pawned, that was in the hands of somebody else. It means then to buy out of the hands of another. It means to set free, to rescue from loss, to rescue from misapplication. Now, so hopefully we've learned three things this morning. First, we've learned that chronos is time as a continuum. Second, we've learned that kairos is an opportune moment. And third, we've learned that you and I can rescue a kairos. We can redeem an opportune moment that God gives us. Now, with that background, the first point I want to make this morning is this. Time as a continuum is on a schedule. That is to say, time, chronos, had a beginning. There was a time when chronos didn't exist. Now, I know it's hard for you and me to try to conceive of timelessness because we live in time. And I can't conceive of movement or being except suspended animation without time, without chronos. But the fact is, God created time. In the first chapter of Genesis, we're told that in the beginning, God created. And then the Bible goes on to say, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were what? The first day. So there you have it. The first day was a creation of God, and that is when time as a continuum, time as chronos began. But there's a second thing the Bible tells us about time as a continuum. It tells us that time is on a schedule, and at some point the schedule will be completed, and that kind of time, chronos time, will come to an end. Over in Revelation, we're told there will be time no longer. And then in chapter 21 of Revelation, we're told that the time is coming when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We're told that the things associated with the passage of time, things like tears and pain and death, will cease to exist because there's going to be a new kind of time. So God, who created time, will also end time. And the Bible tells us that the end of time will occur when Jesus comes again. Now, do you know when he's coming? Well, I don't know either. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in the Bible, but of that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And if somebody tries to tell you that they know when Jesus is coming again, you tell them they're out of step with Scripture. So God created time, and as it had a beginning, out here somewhere, it's going to have an end, and that end is going to occur when Jesus comes again, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a new kind of existence apart from chronos. And while we cannot know when that will be, Jesus goes on to give us this warning: take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. And I suppose the obvious question to ask would be this: if Jesus came today, if God's schedule for time ended this afternoon, would you be ready? Are you prepared? So the first point is that time as chronos is on a schedule. Now the second point I'd like to make is this: within that chronos, within that continuum, there are times, there are moments of kairos. That is to say, within the continuum of time, God creates moments of opportunity. I think in the space program, they call them windows, and the rocket has to be fired when it can catch one of those windows. Well, so with us, God gives us moments of opportunity. Now, let me give you some illustrations. For example, there was God's moment for the preaching of the kingdom to begin in a special way. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we're told how Jesus began his preaching ministry. And this is what we read: Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time, the kairos, The moment of opportunity is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now here's another illustration when God had a kairos, an opportune moment, the right time for something to happen. And that something in this case was the death of Jesus. Do you realize that the death of Jesus did not occur accidentally as though it didn't matter when it happened? For example, in the 7th chapter of St. John, we're told that the Jews sought to kill Jesus. His disciples were trying to get him to go to Jerusalem on a feast day and do some miracles so everybody would know that he was the Messiah. And he declined to do that because he said, "My time has not yet come. My kairos has not yet come." But notice this, when his time had come, when God's kairos arrived, when God's opportune moment had come, this is what the Bible says. And it came to pass, when the time was come, when the kairos was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Oh, I love that sentence. It's one of the greatest in the New Testament. When God's moment for your salvation and mine arrived, Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Early in his ministry, he knew it was not yet the kairos of God. But when that moment, when that kairos arrived, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Do you remember how St. Paul describes that in the book of Romans? He writes, "While we were still weak, at the right time, at the kairos of God, Christ died for the ungodly." Oh, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Praise God for that. Yes, within the continuum of chronos time, there are right times, opportune moments that are the kairoi, that's the plural of kairos, of God. As a matter of fact, did you know there was a kairos for your salvation? God provides opportune moments for you to be saved. For example, in 2 Corinthians we read, "Behold, now is the acceptable time," the kairos. "Behold, now is the day of salvation." So God's kairos for your salvation is this very moment. A moment ago, I quoted Jesus, who earlier in his ministry refused to go to Jerusalem because it was not yet the time of God's kairos for him. I quoted what Jesus said about himself, "My time has not yet come." But I didn't give you the whole quote, and the last part of the quote has a reference to you. So let me give you the entire quote. "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here." So every moment is your time to relate to Jesus as Savior. But you know, there's an interesting thing about moments of kairos. They don't last forever. There comes a time when that moment, that opportunity, has passed. Do you remember how that kairos passed and was over and gone for the city of Jerusalem? As Jesus came back to Jerusalem for the last time to make his entry, Holy Week, to be crucified, as he came back, he stands on a hillside outside the city. And as he looks across that city of the people of God, the Bible tells us, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace. But now," yes, but now, the kairos, the moment is gone. "But now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you when your enemies will cast up a bank about you and surround you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time, you did not know the kairos of your visitation." Oh, I hope that never happens to you. If you have not accepted Christ, I hope you never lose that moment, that it's forever gone because you did not know the time of your visitation.
So first, there's time as chronos. Time is a continuum. And second, within that continuum, God has moments of opportunity, times of kairos. And then the third thing I want to say to you is this. If you do not redeem a kairos, if you do not seize that opportune moment, if you do not rescue that opportunity, it may be forever gone. God will give you many opportunities during your lifetime, including the kairos of your salvation. But if you fail to seize those times, if you fail to rescue them, if you fail to redeem those moments, they may be forever gone. Listen, did you realize that the only thing the Bible tells us that you and I can redeem is a kairos of God? That's the only thing we can redeem. You see, I can't redeem myself. You can't redeem yourself. I can't redeem you. You can't redeem me. Now, some people seem to think that man can redeem and save the world. I think some of our liberal church leaders today think that they're going to be God's instruments for saving the world. After all, isn't Marxist socialism a philosophy that man can save his world? But we don't even need the Bible to tell us man can't redeem the world. History itself tells us that. For example, look at Arnold Toynbee's magnificent work on history entitled A Study of History. And he points out that 21 civilizations are known to have existed, and except for the present civilization in the world, all of the rest have perished from the face of the earth. And Dr. Toynbee found in each of those collapsed and lost civilizations some common denominators that led to their fall. And then, when he looked at our civilization today, he discovered that those same common denominators of failure and destruction are already present in our civilization. No, there isn't much we can redeem, you and I. The only thing the Bible gives us to redeem is a kairos, a moment of opportunity from God. God gives us the chance to rescue moments, opportune times that He places before us. Now, has there been a kairos in your life this morning? Were there many yesterday? Did you recognize them? Did you seize those opportunities that God gave you? Would you know a kairos if you saw one? Now, let me show you what a kairos looks like. Picture Jesus walking down a street in Jericho. And as he walks along, there's a tree by the side of the street. And as he comes to the tree, he stops. And he looks up in the tree. And there is Zacchaeus. It's a kairos of God, a moment of opportunity. Will Jesus pass by? Or will he rescue the opportunity? Jesus speaks, Zacchaeus, come down. And salvation comes to the house of Zacchaeus. So Jesus rescues the opportunity. He redeems the kairos of God. Now, does that begin to make a little sense to you? Was there a kairos in your life this morning? Was there an opportunity to show kindness, to show love, to demonstrate understanding? Yesterday, were there such opportunities? And was there a kairos yesterday when you might have shared Jesus with someone else? Those are the only things you and I can rescue and redeem. And do you know what? I have the idea that the only thing that you and I are going to have in heaven to show for our life here on earth is going to be those rescued, those redeemed kairos of God. You see, I think it is those redeemed moments that are the treasures Jesus talks about that we lay up in heaven. Let me make a suggestion to us. Every day, let's try to find some kairos to redeem and to give to someone. Find a kairos, a moment of opportunity that God will give you to express love to your wife, to your husband. Find a kairos, God's opportunity to say, I love you by word, by act, by deed, to your children, or to your parents, or to somebody you work with, or to a teacher at school. If there's any one place you and I need to redeem the time and to rescue it, it is in our relationship to each other. Sometimes it would seem easier to give up on a relationship and get a new job or move to a new city or get a new mate. But the person who is not redeeming the times in his present marriage or his present job or his present city or even in his present church is not likely to do so in a new situation. If you are not a kairos grabber now, you won't be later. No, we must learn to recognize those opportune moments that God gives us and reach out to redeem them. You know, when we speak of Father Time, all of us are in a race with Him, and He is going to win. We have a lady in our church who's going on 103, Mrs. Becker, but in spite of that, Father Time's going to win that race too. We're all going to lose our race eventually with Father Time. But there's one race against time I can win. I can win the race against time as kairos, where I rescue, where I seize those moments of opportunity that God gives me. Opportunities to show love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Will you try that in your life this afternoon and tomorrow and the days to follow? Look for those moments of opportunity, and as God gives you a kairos, rescue it, redeem it, and send it to heaven. You see, when you get there, you'll want to have some treasure stored up. And wouldn't it be nice to have a treasure house filled with those redeemed moments that you've rescued? And then you'll hear the Master say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.